Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit Lynda.com/AllAboutAndroid. That's LYNDA.com/AllAboutAndroid. And by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/android and enter promo code Android. And by Braintree, if you're working on a mobile app and searching for the right payments API, check out the Braintree V.0 SDK. With one simple integration, you get every way to pay. To learn more and to try out the sandbox, go to braintreepayments.com/android. Hello, welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 231, recorded on Tuesday, September 15th, 2015. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
We didn't say it.
We didn't prepare him.
I thought you guys were going to build it up a little bit. I didn't think you were going to do a direct toss.
Well, you know, we figured, why not?
That's a good
just
point.
Jump right into
it's
it.
A good
In Brian's defense, we did not discuss.
We didn't.
We did that. We just kind of dove in. And
What? It's in the doc. There's tiny little letters there.
I'm going to side with Brian in this case.
Yeah, I'm going to side with Brian, too. Brian, let me that's just... on us. It's not on you. We won't fire
Here
you.
Here we go. Second intro.
Welcome to All About Android. All the stuff I normally say. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Yes! This is how good it's going to be going forward.
Exactly.
I promise we're going to work on this.
All right.
News, by the way.
Yes.
Kind of big news.
Huge news.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're talking about me.
We're talking about you.
Oh.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, Florence Ion. Flo, also known as Flo, all her friends call her Flo, is now a permanent member of the All About Android team.
That's true.
Yay!
Thank you guys.
She has risen up from the minor leagues to take a chair. And
I like the baseball reference.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it is.
That's really inspiring.
Yep. So, studio, your first time in the studio.
In a studio of this size.
Yeah, it's kind of a larger studio, I suppose.
I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah. Does it feel different than being on the other side of a Skype connection?
Because usually I'm just in my jammies. Sorry. Oh, I have to be an All About Android. Just go put on a shirt. All right.
Right, exactly. Oh, comb my hair. Okay, good to
go. Exactly. Didn't have to put on this much makeup, but it's okay.
Well, it's awesome. It's awesome to have you on the show full time.
Thanks for having me.
We're super stoked. I mean, you, so obviously, Greenbot, PC World.
Yes.
My brain, it's going to take me a million years to remember
that. Sorry, I write for too many people.
It's okay. It's okay. All good stuff. And, I mean, you have your hands. I mean, one of the great parts of you being more involved in the show is that you really have your hands in the technology that we're talking about. You're going to IFA. You're going to all these events. And
I have no idea what time it is, honestly.
It's time for All About Android. Yeah. That's what time it is. That's great because you're covering it. As your day job, so I mean, it's which is excellent, which is makes you far more qualified than me to be in this chair. So, good job, upgrade, Jason.
Yes, I am all about Android.
Excellent. Well, then you've come to the right place.
Yeah, I'm psyched. So this is all about Android, the next generation.
That's right, TNG.
TNG. I love it.
Let's stick with that. Yep. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about. And by a lot, I mean we had to dig really hard to find some news this week. Because
the big news was Flo. Everybody in Android, they knew it. So
is it coincidence that the big news of your announcement on the show is also timed with the fact that Apple had big news last week that literally sucked tech news dry in all other
vectors?
They
knew I was coming on, so they said, let's make it easy for Flo in her first show. So her first show here is TNG.
It's the full-time TNG
yes.
era
yes.
of things.
And in person.
So there So, yeah, it took a little while to put this doc together and the stories that we're going to talk about, but we found stuff. Yeah. We're going to have plenty of stuff to talk about. Cyanogen has Microsoft fantasies. We're going to tell you all about those. How to charge a battery in 35 minutes. Android Pay finally arriving. Although it's kind of hard to get.
I got a weird email about it. Did you get that weird email?
Oh, I don't know. Let's save that.
Okay, though. Yeah. Let me see if I can pull it up.
I have
Let's
a lot to say about that, too.
Did you get the weird email?
No.
Okay.
I figured you would. And we have a whole lot more. But why put it off? Let's just get to the news.
Android, the final frontier. These are the voyages of All About Android. Its continuing mission to explore strange news and seek out new news.
That was the longest one, I think.
I know.
I ran out of time.
And it never like backed down. Just kept pushing forward.
He's amazing. Bravo, Brian. He really is a gem. We're lucky.
We'll keep him.
Yeah, right.
So you remember Stage Fright, the Stage Fright vulnerability from, I guess at this point, it's a few months ago. The researchers who discovered that vulnerability actually released the exploit code publicly, I think a couple of days ago. Public release of the code is done, he says, so hopefully systems can be tested and made safe around that. His originally planned release date was August 24th, so he gave Google a little extra time, gave manufacturers time to patch their own devices. And Google has since, of course, we talked about this, announced a new monthly security update schedule. Last Thursday, Google posted the first monthly security update for its Nexus devices with OTAs going out as well. So we're starting to kind of see this new monthly update thing. I don't know if you guys got the OTA on your Nexus devices. I'm on the developer preview of M, so I didn't necessarily get any.
So these are my adventures with the latest update.
So you did get it.
I got it both for my Nexus 9. I got it on my Nexus 9 over the weekend. I want to say like Friday or Saturday night. I was in Chicago, and it was like 2:30 in the morning, and I had to go to sleep. But I was like, oh, my tablet's being weird. Oh, okay, let me just do this. And then I had to wait for it to finish optimizing the apps. You know, it does that. So I was up for like another hour. So that was a problem. But then I flew back from Chicago to San Francisco on Sunday and got the update as soon as I landed. But my battery was at like 25%, so it wouldn't do it until I got home to plug it in. So I was sitting there staring at the little icon telling me that the update is ready. And then I did it, and everything's been running fine. So,
nice.
Yeah. So
do you feel safer?
I feel safer. Nexuses are updated. Okay. Although I got to tell you that optimizing applications is my phone was down for a half an hour. Like to actually run the update, and it does that whole thing where it you know what I'm talking about? Where,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It takes a very long time.
I don't have Nexus devices that I use daily. Right. So I'm just like sitting here seething about Verizon and taking it forever.
Well, so what is your daily driver? What is your daily
right now it's the I'm back to the GS6 Edge. I was on the Note 5.
Are you kind of in that tech reviewer kind of bubble where your daily driver is always the device that you're testing slash reviewing?
It depends.
At any point, so it's hard to give an actual answer.
No,
my device is.
The GS6 Edge is the one I actually bought.
Okay.
It's gold.
All right.
And I wanted a gold phone.
the important priorities.
Listen, it's important, right? Okay. Apple's on to one thing. Rose gold on a phone.
Oh, jeez.
You think that's a plus?
Yeah, that needs to happen immediately. Somebody, please.
Don't worry. Somebody's going to make sure it happens.
A rose gold phone.
Isn't it just pink?
It's rose gold.
It's different by name, if not by color, I suppose.
A rose by any other name? Uh-huh. Yeah, there we go. Look at that.
Florence, you talked to Helen Lee, who is one of the leads on the OnePlus Oxygen OS. And I noticed in that interview,
she's the woman behind it, just to say that. She's the woman behind it.
So she's the brain. She's the person that directed the brain.
She poached the Paranoid Android guys.
Oh, okay. So yeah, she's the one that did that. She mentioned in her interview, in your interview with her, that OnePlus also has plans to do this monthly security update. So,
well, I'd hope so.
Well, I imagine not
considering.
Not all manufacturers have
committed
to this.
That's very true. I noticed there's like a little wave after the whole Stage Fright thing happened, and then LG and Samsung were like, we'll do it. We're going to have updates too. And then everybody has been slowly trickling out and saying, we're going to do updates as well.
So we've got OnePlus, we've got LG, we've got Samsung. I guess the others, we haven't really heard anything.
Did Motorola say something?
I don't know. I don't remember hearing Motorola, but that's kind
of
strange
they'll be fine.
Considering
I'm sure
their,
they'll be
their
fine,
recent
though.
History.
I have trust. Though, yeah. I think they'll be fine.
But
so stage fright over? Are we all good? Are we all patched? Is everybody? Are we still? Because
no.
I feel like it was like a big thing, and then now I haven't heard it. This is literally the first time I've heard about it in weeks.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm just not paying attention.
As with everything in the news cycle, it's like it gets all crazy, and then there's other things to freak out about.
Styluses.
But I don't think it's over, and I think that's kind of the issue with something like the stage fright vulnerability is that a certain percentage of devices are going to get updated in the Android world, flagships on these manufacturers that we're talking about. How long those updates take to get to people, like obviously on Nexus devices, you're not dealing with the carriers as much, so those updates are going to come like they did for you, pretty much within a couple of days of the actual release.
It is so great
devices that
you.
Are locked into that carrier relationship.
Oh, don't get me started on the carrier relationship.
I'm concerned about that.
It's really annoying.
Yeah. However,
it just makes me so angry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Spend a whole show ranting about it until carriers it changes.
In that regard, there needs to be some change in that regard.
There needs to be some regulation.
Do you think?
Possibly. I know it's not. Regulation is a scary word.
Yeah, right. That's a word that makes
some people
angry. It's a
really scary word in politics and in the world of Android.
Sure.
So you're saying the government should get involved?
Are you saying that this should be part of the next presidential
really
debate?
Yeah,
I know. Wow. All of a sudden we turned to a Senate hearing. Ms. Ion, can you please clarify on the statement that there needs to be regulation?
Oh, I'm getting a little red right now.
I need a gavel. I mean, I would say that we don't. This is the slow zoom.
How do you feel now?
I don't think we want that. I mean, that's tough. Because I don't want to see. I don't see regulation. But I also want to see, secure. Like feel secure. I want to see, some level of feeling safe. I guess
This is all a step in the right direction. Right.
I just want Verizon to stop putting 12 different apps I'm never going to use on my phone, and then that way I could actually get the updates when I need them.
Yeah, right.
When
that
I
would
spend
certainly
that
help. You would think that
would help. $400 or $500 on a phone now. Mm-hmm. Send me my updates.
I wonder if that would help, though.
What, not having apps?
Not having Verizon's apps on there. Like,
yeah,
it would
because I don't
situation.
Need a Verizon Maps app. Verizon. I don't need a Verizon Messages. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to turn into... This is going to be a big...
Okay,
rant away. No, rant away. They love... Listen, let me give you a tip, newbie. They love it when you rant. They love it.
I don't want to get the censors on me,
Well, I mean, you got to stop at that line, but yeah. But
it's the internet.
Yeah, it's the internet. I don't know. It's
Okay, cool. Last thing before we move on, Google has also taken care of this from different directions. Hangouts, they've individually gone into Hangouts and addressed these things, and other app developers along these lines have done the same. So it doesn't all rest in the carrier's hands as far as that's concerned to get those updates out, but it would certainly make people
and
feel
Google
a lot
did
better
good by doing that.
I think so.
That was the right move.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
In our favorite antitrust news, Russia's not very happy with Google. Android and Google have been under fire in Russia as Google's pulled market share from Yandex, the local search provider in Russia. Russia's FAS anti-monopoly agency says that Google is abusing its market dominance and will see penalties as a result.
Dun, dun, dun.
Google's pre-installed apps on Android devices are the source of the complaint filed by Yandex in February, claiming that Google's requirements for manufacturers to preload its services on devices is antitrust and reason for Yandex dropping search dominance. The EU, which are the normal people who complain about this sort of thing, are also investigating similar practices, but Russia's the first to deem Google's approach as uncompetitive. So looks like a little international trouble from Russia and soon to be the EU. Microsoft all over again. It's like Grey's Anatomy. The carousel keeps turning.
No, I love this so much, by the way.
Why?
Because I studied post-communist politics in college, and this is totally sinking into that, and I want to see this explode in something amazing and delicious.
What can it explode into? I'm very curious.
I want to see Putin go to Google HQ and be like...
And bang a shoe on the table?
Just bring one of his lions and just be because I know he's got a zoo somewhere in Russia.
Maybe he'll just go into the White House and take his shirt off and that'll be his statement, Isn't that what he does? He rides around on horses.
Yeah,
shirtless.
Looks pretty
you mean
good.
A bear? There on it a bear. Is. Look at that apparently. Man on a bear.
I'm coming for you, Google.
So is this...
That's not real.
Yes, it is.
What are you talking about, Ron?
Don't, that looks like Photoshop.
Don't spoil reality for me. So is this a sign of things to come? I mean, if
it's the Microsoftification of Google.
Yeah, I mean, it happened in Russia.
I think it's a bigger political
point. It happened in Russia. It could happen to you.
You're right, yeah.
Sorry.
In Russia, search engine finds you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a little obvious. I don't know. Do you think we're going to see this similar kind of outcome in the investigations in the EU?
I mean,
and if so, how much is it going to change things?
I think it's going to, this could be a really serious thing, like to have Russia go after Google like this. What if it goes against other companies?
Right. But the question is, what if it what does goes against means? They're going to levy fines? Like, what, how,
right.
like,
we don't
what
know
is
that
the approach
yet.
That's going to happen? I mean,
they're going to cut them out. And what happens if they cut them out and they cut out Google from Russia and then you have all these people who are living on an island like China has been on an island, right?
Right. Well,
the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Now Google's trying to pry its way
exactly,
back in.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's all one big political game and Android
is kind
of
is. It really kind of is.
So don't worry, Google.
Yeah, we'll get through I don't know. This. And then you got Android Wear, of course, stripping away Google services in order to play in the China playground, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, it's an interesting time for Android and these Google services and how they're embedded in and how Google is actually officially the ones to have to make these changes. You know, anyone could just take the open source version of Android and break off and not use the Google services if they so chose. But
is it antitrust? Is it antitrust?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing. If Google makes the Android and they are also have a search engine, does it make sense to put the boxes? Like, are they going to put a Yandex box on there? No, they're not going to do that. Like, it's less of an antitrust issue and more of a nationalism issue in that the Russian search engine Yandex is hurting, and so therefore,
yes.
They're going to play the antitrust.
Totally,
card.
That does seem to be the case.
Yeah,
for sure.
But then the question was Microsoft antitrust when they shipped Windows with Internet Explorer on it, and that was the default web browser? Like, yeah, it's for lawyers, and that's not, makes me fall asleep. But yeah, I don't know.
Don't fall asleep. We're doing a show. Okay. Hey, Flo, what about Cyanogen? I hear that they've got this thing going on with Microsoft.
Yeah. So we got CEO Kurt McMaster is on building the next great. This is the first time I'm doing this news thing, and I'm just going to go ahead and say I have no idea what I'm doing right now, so I'm sorry.
You're okay.
So Kurt McMaster, our friend of the show, I've always wanted to say that, a friend.
You got to get him on. We'll work on that.
He chatted about Cortana being on Cyanogen. As we know, Kurt McMaster is a very outspoken man. He spoke with the International Business Times about Cyanogen's upcoming plans with Microsoft. He admits that people are not buying Windows phones, quote unquote. He revealed that the next version of Cyanogen will have a deeply integrated version of Microsoft's Cortana, more so than the Android app that Microsoft just recently released a few weeks ago in the Google Play Store. McMaster said of Cortana, quote unquote, you need it to be embedded into the framework of the OS because that is where you get all the signal from the services that makes that intelligence smarter. So, ultimately, McMaster sees Cyanogen in 2 to 3 years' time as having no dependencies on Google. Next year is the first phase of that. That is very interesting.
I love it. I'm just going to say,
way to throw some shade, Kurt. That is a lot of shade to the Googs. And we should have shade court. That's actually stealing that from Jezebel, so we can't do that. Yeah. But I wish we could, because this would be a great first episode.
Well, yeah, McMaster always is. Every quote from him is priceless in terms of like.
He should have a reality show.
Should
that would probably be good for raising awareness for Cyanogen, to be honest. Because Cyanogen,
that's an
who
idea.
Knows about Cyanogen?
That's an idea.
I feel like if you're going to be Cyanogen, like this is like the attitude that McMaster brings to Cyanogen. Is the attitude or the swagger that I wish OnePlus had without screwing it up.
You know what? Kurt's a really great dresser, too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to say that. He always has a leather jacket. Yeah. But go on.
But I was saying, like, in order to do what Cyanogen's trying to do, you have to say stuff like this. Like, he's not dancing around it, right? No. And I love it. I think that's awesome. No. I'm not going to use it, but I love it.
Yeah, I'm not going to use Cortana.
Right.
Listen, I put the beta on my phone. It did not work. It was not happening.
Well,
for
it wasn't embedded in the OS to get the signal from
not
the apps.
Embedded.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. No, that's true. I played around with Cortana as well, and it was neat.
Okay.
It was fine, but
it's
you could
okay.
tell that there was a certain level of something missing, and I mean that just comes from the deeper context.
There's
of the
nothing
OS.
That compares to Google Now. I'm sorry. Yep. I'm not just saying this as a fangirl. I love Google Now. It has made my life so much easier.
Yep.
It knows when I'm leaving the house. It tells me traffic. Like, now I live my whole life just on the little swipey screen.
Except I have a Google Now complaint.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
Lodge that complaint.
Lodge that complaint. So to catch Flo up, a long-standing, long-running joke on here all about Android is the fact that my personal email is still on a POP3 server that I manage myself. And
that's old school.
And so I've been trying to migrate my life towards a more 21st century solution, mm-hmm. and I set up my own domain, and I'm using Google Apps and all that sort of stuff, and I was going to funnel the POP3 mail into the Google Apps to get Gmail, and I just tried on my phone to switch Google Now to go to that account, and Google Now email accounts with Google Apps for Work mm-hmm. is not supported by Google Now.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling you something.
Yeah, I know.
It's telling you to come into the 21st.
Well, no, I just don't want to use an at Gmail. That's the thing. So a Google Now complaint. I want Google Now to work with Google Apps for Work. I don't know why it doesn't.
Cortana will work with it.
Because honestly, all my flight stuff and all shipping mm-hmm. and all stuff like that is all going to go through a work email. Like, why Google Now should be able to take, here are all my 5 Google accounts and funnel them all into Google
point.
Now, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just being one account.
That would
it should
be nice.
Merge.
That would
yeah.
be really nice. Yeah.
I might send an email to somebody.
You should give them
should
that idea.
Info@google.com.
Yeah, it's probably on the roadmap somewhere.
I hope. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It better be.
Yeah.
Because the people at Google are way
Sundar.
Smarter than we are at this stuff, I imagine. They have to have thought of all this.
I'm going to send Sundar a Snapchat about this. I think that's the best way to get in touch with him since he doesn't read email.
It's true. Yeah, it might be a quicker way to get in touch with Sundar.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to derail it from Cortana, but yeah.
No.
What is there to say about Cortana?
Nothing.
You know?
I mean, what do we think of Cyanogen's ambitions to... By the way, Kurt did say in that interview also that he's a big fan of Google services. So,
I missed that part, to say that out loud.
Also, the fact that Cyanogen users are also very big fans of Google services.
Yes, they are.
So which kind of puts Cyanogen in an interesting position. On one hand, they realize that the people that use Cyanogen love Google services. On the other hand, their ambition is to strip Google away entirely, apparently.
Yep.
How they win necessarily, or I guess in doing that, they're going to find new fans, right?
It just sounds really
target new markets.
It sounds really confusing. Actually, target new markets is probably mm-hmm. a good point.
That's probably what it is.
Because if, you know, Windows Phone really is going the way of the dodo,
mm-hmm. as it should.
Dodo,
yeah.
Or so they say. I've never met a dodo, so I don't know which way they went.
The way of the Nokia. Sad, isn't it? Yeah.
Anyway. That was a good OS.
All right. Did we get an email, Jason?
We did.
Oh.
Thank you, Brian.
Trombone.com.
David Putzier wrote in to say, this is a minor issue, but it bugs me. When I go to the Play Store, I have a choice to look at games and apps. Here, I'll load up the Play Store so you can see what he's talking about. Apps to mean applications. Games means games, etc., etc. Now, when I choose to look at apps, most of what's shown are games. If I wanted to look at games, I would select games, which, by the way, shows only games. So, you know, I could go into games and all I'm going to get over here is games. Every other category shows only that which falls into the category. But apps seems to list more games than applications. I beg to differ on more, but I definitely agree that there are.
I'm with David on this issue.
Yeah, I'm with him as well. Yeah, I have the same issue.
Games. Carousel.
Go look at the when you go look at new releases.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Well, but that's new releases. Like that's
so.
That's new releases across all categories.
Right. No, it's not. Oops. When you look in the Google Play Store, and
on the main page.
Rarely use the Google Play Store on the app. I'm on the web.
Me okay. too.
Yeah. And when you go to new, because I love the install and it doesn't.
Yeah.
Install.
Yeah. Install. And you see it pop up.
So that new it is. It is a wasteland of games in the app section all the time. all the time. And it drives me crazy too, David. You are not alone.
Okay.
You know, I think the iTunes app store is like this too. It's just a mess of games.
This isn't Google's fault. These are the developers who want everyone to see their... So if you spent time and money to create a game or an app, you want the most number of people to see it. So you're just going to check off every box you can to have as many people see it as possible, and that's what's happening. So what they're doing
I'm finding one game in this.
Well, go on the web. Brian, go to play. Yeah, there we go. There we go. So go to apps, and then go to categories. Oh, new releases up there on the top. Oh, there we go. Look at that.
Okay.
Top new free Android apps. Game, 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 game,
well,
game.
I guess there were a lot of new games.
Game, 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 game. Right? It is impossible. It's like finding a needle in a haystack to find an app in that.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
All I ever wanted was a good productivity app.
Right, All I wanted was a to-do list app.
But there are categories for productivity. You go to categories and you find
But there are no subcategories for new releases. That's the thing.
The subcategories, you know, honestly, I think the Google Play Store needs a slight overhaul. I've been saying this for a while in my articles. Like,
just out of nowhere, you're reviewing a tablet and you say...
No, I do. It gets a little, frustrating. It's really hard to find new apps, things that are useful in the Google Play Store.
It really is.
You know?
It used to be great. Because the thing is, you've got more and more people using it, more developers and that sort of thing.
Which is, yay, great, thank you, please using us.
But there are too many algorithms running what shows up on the Google Play Store versus actual people filtering.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I guess. But games are apps. I mean, it's an app that runs on your phone. No, it just happens to be a game.
If you have a game section, put the games in the game section. How hard is that?
I guess what I'm thinking is, wow, we're really getting into semantics here.
Yes, but, we are.
Apps are the things that run on your phone. And when I'm looking at top, I want to see the top of all those things that run on my phone. Right. That might include games. Beyond that, I can go into the game section if all I want to see are games. If I just go into the app section, I totally agree with that aspect.
Yeah.
It's like if there's like the apps category,
but games
and then there's
are always
the
apps.
App section, the overarching section. I don't know. I feel like they're two different things, but that's very confusing.
Yeah, it's very confusing. I would like to never see a game ever. Like, I'm just trying to find the best, productivity app or whatever, kind of thing I'm trying to find. And I don't want to see 9 different versions of a ripoff of an iOS game, and that's all that happens now. David's right. I'm with you, David.
There you go.
Let's get a beer and
it's
complain.
A great point, and I'm sure we're going to hear from people at AAA@twit.tv that tell us their opinion.
I'm going to include this also in my memo to Google.
Okay.
About Google Now, and I'm going to include this. Sundar, I hope you're ready.
DJS71A in the chat room says, preach it, Ron, no games in the app section. So, we've got some supporters here. David, you've got a grassroots effort.
Listen, I'm saying guys, we get together, we go down to Mountain View, we make some signs.
Ooh,
we
let's grab the chicken protesters down the street. We'll take them to Google. Tell them it's about...
This is
Factory Farms.
Listen,
it's actually about games in the App Store. Actually, it's about games in the App Store.
They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out at some point.
Make an app that saves chickens.
This is an issue we can all rally behind. That's all I'm saying. I think we found something.
No, it's true. Resonates.
It's
ridiculous.
It's about games in the App Store.
You know?
Really. It's about ethics in games in the App Store.
Darn it. I missed it.
All right.
Let's thank a sponsor for helping All About Android come to you on a weekly basis. We want to thank Lynda.com. Lynda.com is a great sponsor and a great service because Lynda.com is for problem solvers, for the curious, for the people who want to make things happen, just like us, just like you. Maybe you want to learn how to develop an app, take better photos, master Photoshop, or sharpen your coding skills. Lynda.com has everything you need to feed your curious mind. If you're starting a new business or want to grow your existing one, Lynda.com's new courses include creating a business plan, business fundamentals, managerial accounting, creating customer value. There are new courses on fundamentals of lead generation, media training, speech writing, analyzing your website to improve SEO, and Guy Kawasaki on entrepreneurship. And that's a great example of how not only do they have amazing content, but they've got content by the experts who know what they're talking about. Guy Kawasaki is a legend in the world of entrepreneurship. You want to listen to what that guy says. I preach about it all the time. I live by getting things done. And David Allen has made a video on Lynda.com where you can learn how to get things done from the man who created it himself. Lynda.com knows to go to the experts to get you the best content you can. So sign up for Lynda.com, and with a membership, you can watch and learn from top experts who are passionate about teaching. You can stream thousands of video courses on demand and learn on your own schedule. You can learn at your own pace. Courses are structured so you can watch them from start to finish or consume them in bite-sized pieces. You can browse each course transcript to follow along or search for an answer and skip to that point. Take notes as you go and refer to them later. You can download tutorials and watch them on the go, including access on your Android device. And you can create and save playlists of courses you want to watch to customize your learning path, share with friends, colleagues, and team members. Your lynda.com membership gives you unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one flat rate. It doesn't get any better than that. So whether you're looking to become an expert, you're passionate about a hobby, or you just want to learn something new, I want you to visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid and sign up for your free 10-day trial. You know how much content you can absorb in 10 days? A lot. And once you're done absorbing, you're just going to want more. So go to lynda.com, lynda.com/allaboutandroid, and we thank lynda.com for their support. Excellent. I love to learn.
Let's see if I'm good at math. Would it be 2,400 hours of content in 10 days?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a good goal.
That's a lot of hours.
It's a good goal. Go for it.
Just don't sleep. 10 days.
Learn. Absorb.
2,400 hours.
Absorb. All right. Let's do some hardware.
Let's do it.
Oh, I can already tell this is going to be fun. All right, so hardware. I am so envious of Qualcomm's Quick Charge. Can I tell you right now, when I read it, it was amazing. Yeah. So Qualcomm unveiled Quick Charge 3.0, a new standard that ships on its latest line of SoCs. What are SoCs?
Systems on a chip.
Systems on a chip. There you go. Promising up to 27% speed improvement over Quick Charge 2.0 when charging batteries. In other words, charging a battery from 0 to 80% in 35 minutes. I just want that to sink in.
I've already been living like this, though.
80% in 35 minutes. Really, have you? I'm so envious.
Sort of like this, because the GS6 has super, like, it has quick charge.
Has quick charge 2.
So it's gonna, your life is going to get even better.
I know. It's no, so what I mean to say, it's amazing. I can't
believe
that.
Yeah, it really is. It's one of those changes that really... Yeah. It's impossible to go in reverse, and
my little car thingy. What's it called?
The car charger. Okay, good.
The car charger. It's a lighter, actually. I just forget what it's called. It charges the GS6 Edge so much faster because it has a little like.
And that's like the perfect case for it too,
because
you get in your car, you drive for 10 minutes, and you're like, I just want to boost it as much as I can, and with the quick charge in your car, it actually makes a noticeable, measurable
it's
difference.
Awesome.
What I like is 0 to 80% in 35 minutes. What about 0 to 100%? Let's just go that last section.
Yeah, I know. And also, what is an hour
for that last section.
What is the... Wow, when it hits that last 20%, it really goes downhill. But it's not going to matter because 80% is pretty good.
Also,
what is the capacity that they're basing this on? Yeah. I don't know. Hopefully, it's like the average, 3,000 milliamp hours, somewhere around there.
And also, do you melt the table that the phone is sitting on as it's charging because it's getting so hot?
So, Ron, you know not of this world of quick charge.
I do not know of the world of quick charge.
I have no patience for anything anymore.
It's really difficult to go back. Anytime I'm reviewing a device that doesn't have it, it's noticeable.
Awful.
I can't wait. Well, I won't have to wait long because apparently we're going to see the standard in next year's big devices. So hopefully I will catch up with you guys soon.
But not this year.
Not this year.
But you'll still get fast charge this year. And the fast charge that you have right now, Quick Charge 2.0, is still very, very good.
Yeah, it's better than
what I'm doing. Phenomenal. So there you go. Yep.
All right.
So I remember hearing about this phone that had a 4K screen.
So speaking
this, right?
Yeah. No, I didn't, actually. And this is really embarrassing. I didn't.
Even better.
I didn't. I saw it from afar. I didn't get to touch it.
But it's 4K, so it doesn't matter. But from afar, it still looked amazing, right? Because it's 4K.
So speaking of new devices, the Xperia Z5, which apparently won't have battery issues, is what Sony is saying. They're saying the Xperia Z5 Premium was touted as the first smartphone with a 4K display, and the internet went nuts. Yes, it did. As in, why does a smartphone need 4K display? It doesn't. Sony also touted two-day battery life, which seems at odds with what we have come to expect of battery life on devices with increasingly high-res displays. I can tell you this from experience.
Mm-hmm.
Sony says it's only 4K when it needs to be. It told Phone Arena today that 4K viewing only applies to 4K video and photo content. Otherwise, the phone will ramp down to 1080p or worse.
I don't understand that.
In order to optimize performance and battery stamina... I don't even, like, I can't even go on anymore. Look, there should not be 4K on a phone. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's only 4K Sony. When it needs to be, all right?
Sony, let's bring your phone to the U.S. so we can actually use them before we start going to this whole 4K venture. We don't need 4K right now.
People just want the next greatest thing.
That's
the thing.
No, we need better batteries,
fast
charging, good, fantastic cameras that can take pictures of our children and dogs and puppies and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what we need right now.
Well, doesn't Sony has a nice camera. We have fast charging. Like,
you can't buy their phone anywhere.
That's true.
Where do they get their phone?
Yeah, that's the other part of it.
I don't know. Like, I read this, and depending, like, okay, so this is definitely a little bit of marketing, you know, mumbo jumbo, and so the proof will be in the pudding once devices are actually out there. But if this is true, I think that's actually a pretty smart way to go about it, right? Like,
oh, yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Does anyone need 4K in their device? No.
So we need 4K.
If what
at
you
all.
Really want, well, no, wait. If you really want VR on a handset,
well, you always 4K, get the VK argument, which is
because
fair,
that's
which,
the argument no, that fair, people use, fair, and, yeah, and it's yeah. not something that applies to everybody. But here's why this is actually kind of smart, because 4K video is not something you're doing 100% of the time. It's something
you're
doing every once in a while. You know, VR viewing is something you do every once in a while. So if it only does 4K when you're doing something like VR, that's actually pretty darn smart. Save the battery. You only spend that battery when you're actually sitting down to do VR viewing. Otherwise, give me normal battery life on a device that doesn't use all those 4K pixels. It's like the best of both worlds. As long as they don't jack up that price to an insane level, why not?
Well, okay, so if there was 4K, would that make me less prone to throwing up in VR?
Well, I think that's throwing up with VR?
Yeah, I got super nauseous at Google I.O.
That's the little bracelet with the white dot that you're supposed to put on before you put it on. Really? Oh, jeez.
That was bad. I don't know. I just think 4K is just a little much at this point. I don't even think we really need the...
We don't.
Quad HD and everything else we have going on.
No, I would agree. Anytime I get a device nowadays that's 1080p and it's a large form factor 1080p, like 5.5 inch display or whatever, it seems to be good enough for me. Like,
Samsung makes beautiful 720p phones as well. Like, their lower end ones look really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think we're jumping the gun here. I think Sony needs to reprioritize its business. Just my opinion.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I haven't reviewed a Sony phone in a long time. Because there is no phone to review.
The phone reviews that you do for Greenbot and PC World, are they primarily, like, are you doing international outside of U.S.?
I usually only do U.S. variant, unless it's a really special case.
Mm-hmm. So no Xiaomi phones?
Not yet. Hugo, still waiting on that.
Hugo.
Someday. You can write an email to Hugo. There you go. I'll get Google, you get Xiaomi.
God, who am I going to write? Maybe I'll write OnePlus.
There you go. Because
co-founder Carl Pei of OnePlus. He admitted on the OnePlus forum that the company is only now starting to ship the device in larger numbers to its millions of potential waitlisted buyers. That's 1 month later than originally expected. He said, "We messed up. We know that you are rooting for us and want nothing more than to see us succeed. Therefore, it feels extra terrible to let you down this time around, again." Which, unfortunately, is something that we're used to hearing from OnePlus. I will say I got my invite. I bought a OnePlus 2 early on, and I received it. And then I did get an invite. I put the call, checked with Gina. She didn't want it. She's waiting for Nexus or something else. So I put the call out on Twitter. And wow, was it different this time around versus last time when I had an invite for the OnePlus One. Yeah. It was like, nah, I think I'm going to wait. No NFC. Meh, not liking it. I'm cool with the OnePlus One. A lot of nonchalant, like, I really don't care.
It's the generation of mobile payments now. Like, everything has to have NFC. Like, everyone's starting to make it mainstream.
I feel generation of NFC is a little...
Premature.
I feel like we're entering the age of mobile payments. I don't know if we're truly at the generation.
I'm sorry, I'm a millennial. We jumped the gun on everything. Yeah. But I talked to Carl about this back when...
Oh, you know
plus,
Carl.
Yeah, Carl.
No, no,
I don't want to mispronounce his last name because then I'll feel totally terrible. Pei, right?
Yeah, Pei.
Okay, Carl Pei.
Yeah.
I talked to Carl Pei about this. I actually did an interview with him, and he had said that they were a little too confident about everything that they were doing, and now it just seems like history is repeating itself. So I don't know. This is not good marketing.
Well, yeah. Well, I can welcome you to our concept of we want a little sign that says the number of X number of days since our marketing screw up at OnePlus. So now we can reset that now to however many days since this was. I'm a big fan of the falling on the sword methodology, like when you screw up, to own up to it and to say, our bad, we apologize, whatever. But you can't do it all the time.
You should have apologized last year.
How many times are you going to fall on that sword?
There was some you got to get it right. Last year, and then to do this. I'm still a little, annoyed by the message board thing with the ladies. So,
there's a lot.
Made it known.
Yeah. So. I mean, the smashing your phone thing. I mean, the storied history of OnePlus is not lost on all of us. It's just that at some point they need to mature and deliver on what they're saying and not do the, hey, we told you we'd do this. Sorry. You know, like, because you can only go to that well so many times. So, you know.
It's true.
But see, this might be going too deep. But why are we letting OnePlus go but not Cyanogen? Because Cyanogen can be pretty,
I don't use Cyanogen. I don't use OnePlus either, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
what is Cyanogen not delivered on?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, another part of that difference is hardware versus software.
Yeah, they don't have as much of a market as they would hope to have by now, I'm assuming, and I don't know. It's just interesting to see forks come out and throw this little. It seems like a game to me, honestly. Of Android forks, and it's just kind of annoying.
Well, and I mean, part of that is born out of the fact that these are small companies aspiring to be large companies. So they have to do, and they even admit this, they have to go through these lengths and do these crazy things just to get noticed. And
we should be humble.
How noticed are they outside of the enthusiast market? I don't know. But
they're actually pretty noticed. I've met people in the airport line. Who had in line for the airplane, and they had OnePluses, and I've asked out of curiosity, hey, how do you know about that phone? Mm. And a lot of them will say, well, my friend told me about it. And a lot of them, the three people I surveyed in my time, were previous iPhone users.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So they were like, my friend said this is better than the iPhone, so. Huh. But that was the OnePlus One. I haven't seen anybody with the OnePlus 2 yet.
I feel like the OnePlus One is still a pretty darn good phone.
Yeah, I agree.
I just thought it was very telling, though, putting out that invite and expecting within a minute to hear from, I'll take it. And I mean, it was crickets. It was solid crickets for a while. And then eventually I got one, I got a guy and he got it and he did end up buying it. So we found you, one person. I think I got two or three responses in total over 24 hours. But that said, they wanted it. But still, it was just very different from my experience when I had an invite for the OnePlus One. Okay, so Flo, you have with you the Samsung Galaxy Tab S2. We've talked about it on the show. We haven't really seen it and shown it off. What do you think?
I think it is great. I just finished the review for this today, my editor knows. Thank you.
So is it up on the site yet?
No, not yet. No. I think it's going up tomorrow. I'll check tonight. But anyway, so I have this is the new Tab S. I'm learning cameras. Sorry, y'all. This is the new Tab S. This is the 8-inch version. There's also a 9.7-inch version. It has a 1.9 gigahertz octa-core Exynos 5543 processor in this, if I recall correctly. 3 gigs of RAM. This one has 4,000 milliamp battery pack. The larger one has something in the fives. I totally forgot, and I'm sorry about that. It's awesome. I was a huge fan of the first Tab S last year's. I used it from the day we got it in the office to the day I got this. And now I've been using this all day. It was with me. Oh, I should probably turn it on and, do something fun and show you. But I'm using the Google Launcher. So how does this...
I do that, too.
How does this
Because
help
I can
anybody?
Only
Look,
last
Google
so long.
Now, which is so much better than the Cortana, and I'm flying New Orleans tomorrow. Now you all know. I love it. I think it's great. It's hard to say much more about it because Samsung has such a really good year, which is... So it's
you mean good from a design?
They've had a really good year from design and product. I'm sorry. Really good year for design and product standpoint. So I'm sort of I don't want to be inflammatory and be like, this is amazing. But seriously, it's such a good, solid product. This is a great tablet. It's not an iPad competitor. I'm really sick of that narrative, as people who follow me on Twitter know. I'm really sick of hearing that narrative. But I think whatever Samsung teased at IFA is going to be the iPad Pro competitor. I think that they're going to go for that. This is just a great, like, companion device. Just to have like this.
What are the little buttons on the back?
So that actually you can buy these pop-on covers that snap in there, and they're fantastic. Cool. I was using the one for the Tab S last year. Yeah, and I like, by the way, this is 4:3 ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So it's awesome. You watch 90210
and full
screen. I actually
prefer 4:3 ratio on a tablet.
I do now too. I didn't at first with the Nexus 9.
Yep. Yeah, and I did.
Because I was weirded out by that.
Yeah. I love my Nexus 9. I love it.
Oh, you can dismiss my notifications.
That's right. I'm going to start responding to your texts.
I usually am so good about that. But yeah, it's a really solid tablet. But you know what is kind of a bummer is I was going online to try and tell, like, suggest to people what to get, and the Tab S is still like $300.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so
and this guy is like $400 more.
Yeah, I think. Let's see, your Tab S to
9.7.
Yeah, that's 9.7. So that's got to be less.
Yeah, this is a better size. I barely feel it in my purse. It's not as dense as the last ones. So I don't know, Samsung. Good for you. You guys made a really good tablet.
This is 399 on B&H, a 32 gig model.
Oh, and it has an expansion slot. Woo! I know we've been missing that.
The micro SD?
Yes.
Yes. I review the Tab S 10.1 last year.
That honker.
Mm-hmm. I really liked it.
I can't do with the big tablets anymore, guys. I just can't. I need the small guys that go in my purse.
Well, prepare yourself. I'm sure we've got oversized tablets in store sometime in the next year with a pen or a pencil or something.
Plug in the stylus to give it some juice.
Oh man, little
appendage.
Cool. So it sounds like you're digging it.
I am. I'm playing with the Asus ZenPad next.
Oh, nice.
So okay. I'm curious. I'm trying to go down a tablet path. I miss tablets.
So when you do a tablet thing, the evaluation, is it just like, do you just try to use it as a device that you'd always use? Or do you have like a set, like, let me watch video on it. Let me read on
it.
Do you have a test case?
I've already watched season 2 on this.
Awesome. The best season.
So, of 90210, by the way. I'm sorry.
Clarification.
Now that I'm on the show, Ron and I will always talk about 90210.
Sorry.
And fly over
I'll be in the middle going.
Sorry. Eventually, he'll watch it. I use Twitter on it. I use my tablet every day on BART on the way to work when I go into the office to do all my email writing. And it's so much easier with this because you can just like hold it and be like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Because I'm always interested. When I read those reviews, I wonder, are they just looking at how it looks and how it looks on the surface and the specs, or is it, like, putting it through the paces?
That's
and then,
why I write tablet reviews a little bit later than phone reviews because, you know.
Yeah, phone reviews are a little bit easier because we're used to living with that device. And so it's easy to integrate it into our daily life and just replace the thing we already use with that. Tablet reviews, I find, are a lot more difficult because you actually really have to set aside time, especially if a tablet isn't a part of your daily life.
Right.
I don't go home and sit down on my couch and use a tablet.
Yeah. I do. The minute I walk in, I bust it out of my bag.
So I have to
take
like,
it off tethering so I don't use data because I tether like on BART. Okay.
Right, you have to. Yeah.
Like I have to go out of my way to use a tablet to remember to use a tablet. It's not part of my routine.
I use the tablet, but it's like it's a very like I use it to watch video, to read books and comics, and like and
I read Next Issue on this.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My
That's
People
a good
magazine.
Use for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like my trashy magazine.
I get my Entertainment Weekly through Google Newsstand. I'm like one of the only people who use that app.
I don't use it.
Yeah. See.
I don't
there
use
you go.
It actually.
Anyway,
I read words on the internet. I don't read many magazines or anything like that. Okay, cool. So that is awesome. The Galaxy Tab S2. Look for Flo's review on Greenbot and PC World. We'll be posting, I'm sure, very soon. Your editor has it, so sure it'll be going up very soon. Let's take a minute and thank another sponsor of today's episode, and that is Casper. I love my Casper mattress. Wouldn't you know, I sleep on it every single night. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses. And the best part, it's a fraction of the cost of traditional mattresses, you know, that you're used to walking into a store and buying. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms the way you're used to, passing that savings directly to the consumer. Their mattresses are obsessively engineered and at a fantastic price. I got mine delivered in a box. It was all rolled up in a box, vacuum sealed. And our bed is a California king size bed. So that's not a tiny mattress by any means. I was able to carry the box upstairs, you know, unpack it. And, you know, as we're seeing right here, Leo unboxed his mattress. It just kind of pops right out there. You just break the seal. It's not inflating. It's just the air gets in there from the vacuum seal and it becomes a mattress magically before your eyes. And it's just a super comfy mattress. It's two technologies inside. It's latex and memory foam. And what can I say? It makes for a comfortable, nice sleep. It's has a nice amount of sink, nice amount of bounce. When you saw Leo jump on here, you can kind of see it kind of form around his back, I'm sure. And you feel it when you're laying on it. It's a fantastic mattress. You can buy it easily online and completely risk-free. Casper understands that it's important for you to try out a mattress. And trying it out in a store is kind of like the worst way to do it. You lay down on a mattress for like 2 minutes, and then you go, I'm sold. And then you get it home. And actually, after a couple of nights of sleeping on it, you realize you made a horrible decision. Casper actually sends the mattress to you, free delivery, and has painless returns with a 100-day period. So you don't have to tie yourself to the mattress that you walk out of the storeroom with the showroom with. You can use it for up to 100 days. And then if you decide you're not digging it, you can send it back and you can return it to them. And yeah, it's just a fantastic way to buy a mattress. It's the way to buy it because you're in your environment. You can kind of, you know, put it on your bed, see how it works in your environment and for quite a while before you have to make that decision. It's all made in the USA as well. Get a Casper mattress, $500 for a twin or $950 for a king size. Compared to industry averages, that's actually a really, really great price. You can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/android and enter the promo code Android. Make sure and do that. That way they know that you heard about it on All About Android. That's casper.com/android with the promo code Android. And check it out for yourself. Casper mattresses, they are the bomb. All right. Thank you, Casper, for your support of All About Android. Appreciate it. Let's see here. We've got some apps stuff to talk about. Let's do that. Hello, are you ready? You got the top story of apps section.
This is a good one. Nervous.
Yes. But you know, you wrote about it.
I did.
So, you know.
I did.
Made sense.
I did. So Android Pay sort of officially came out last week.
Kind of.
Sort of officially because I have no idea how to set it up or what it's doing. So yeah, it was launched last Wednesday, very quietly and nonchalantly by the Googs. It requires Android 4.4 and up. So you can use that. And you need NFC, of course. Otherwise, it won't work at all. Android Pay uses a token method, which means none of your credit card information is shown to the merchant. It's fine. It's all hidden.
That's awesome.
And then when you return your item, which is what I learned, they'll just see the token. I haven't tested that out yet. I'm curious about what that works like. The Google Wallet app will update to become the new Android Pay app. So if you don't have it yet, maybe stay tuned. Just wait a little bit. It'll come. It'll happen. If not, I'm sure you could just find the APK and try and download it yourself. I don't think it works on... Does it work on all carriers?
I believe it
does.
That
was... Yeah. Okay. Because the reason I asked that, and this might be slightly changing the subject, but because I'm in the Samsung Pay beta.
Oh, yes.
So, which doesn't work with Verizon, so I had to get another phone to get it to work.
Nice.
Which is a bit of a bummer.
Well, I'm very curious. Samsung Pay, how
would
you
think? Yeah, so I haven't used any of it yet, and let me explain why. Let me explain to you. I am very shy about the idea of using my phone to pay for something.
It's awesome.
This is extremely weird and foreign concept to me.
You just literally 5 minutes ago were touting this is the new generation of mobile payments.
I know. I'm a millennial. We exaggerate everything.
Dubbing it a new generation. I know. And now you're saying you're afraid to use it?
I know. That's the millennial struggle.
Oh, yes. The struggle is real.
It is, actually. It is totally a struggle. Oh,
I didn't think that was real.
No, the struggle is real. And my struggle is I cannot use Android Pay and say, no, I have to. I have to use it like tomorrow because I have to write an article about it.
Listen, sister, As an old Gen Xer, let me tell you something. I've been using Google Wallet and the NFC and all that stuff, and it's awesome.
Like I couldn't because Verizon hates me.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, I'm not on Verizon.
Give them so much money.
But no, it's embrace. The, I can't believe I'm doing this. Embrace the new. This is the next. This is the future. This is our step towards Star Trek.
It's stage fright. Okay, and not to be confused with the awful thing that happened.
Not that other stage fright.
PTSD for some people.
I will give Google this, that they're not making it easy for you to allay your fears.
It's
because
confusing,
like,
even though they claim it's not.
And I'm a Google Wallet user, and I'm like, I want to see what's happening. So last week, I got an email, and Brian, I forwarded you the email that I got. I guess you guys didn't get this email. Did you not see this email?
If I did, it
so
went to
I got
junk.
This email that says, "Coming soon. Wallet's popular features will move to two simpler apps, Android Pay and the new Google Wallet."
This is super confusing.
And then I was like, okay. And so then you go on to read it, and it goes on to tell you that over the next week, we're launching two new apps. So Android Pay, which isn't out yet, so I couldn't do anything on that. I couldn't click on that. And then once you've updated Android Pay, you'll need to get the new Google Wallet. So I already have Google Wallet, but now I need to get the new Google Wallet. Like, it's – I read this email. I was like – so basically this email is telling me that there's nothing I can do right now.
Yeah. I downloaded Google Wallet from Google Play Store. It didn't work, and I was like, phooey. Yeah. So then I went and I found the APK, and I installed it, and – now it's just
I've
sitting
got
there.
Android Pay running.
So I've installed.
I haven't added anything to it yet.
I've installed the new Google Wallet. Literally just installed it right now. And I've got the old Google Wallet because it hasn't updated to Android Pay yet. So I'm in this weird kind of. Here, you can see it, Brian. Let's go through the onboarding for the new Google Wallet. You ready?
This is where you get all the details.
This is the juicy stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. So
look at that.
I'm going to send money to friends and family. I want to receive money. Look at that, money's flying. So there you go. And then stay on top of spending. So for people still using, so as far as I can exist, Google Wallet, as far as I can tell, Google Wallet exists for you to give Android Pay a source for the cards and for all your sort of stuff and use that Google Wallet card if you still use it. That's as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Do
you have that?
Yeah. I do have it. I have it somewhere.
It's your wallet.
Somewhere.
And thank you, Brian, for cutting away from my financial information. I appreciate it.
But how will you receive money if nobody knows how to send it to you?
Right, exactly. That's the question.
Look at that
card. There you go.
This old-fashioned looking. No, never.
No?
Yeah.
It's just candy in your wallet.
I keep it in there for if ever I have an emergency and I need something, but I never do.
Yeah.
But I have it.
Well, so, okay.
I don't know. I never think to use it because it's all stuffed away and
it's just not part of my routine. You have your phone. You should be able to use your phone, right?
This is my favorite example of living in limbo in Never Never Land. If you go back to my phone. So this is my banking thing. I've got B of A and I've got wallet and wallet.
I just got wallet, Venmo.
Wait a minute.
You just got Venmo?
I just got it yesterday.
My God, Venmo's just the FYI. Best. Anyway, yeah. So
Wallet.
There you go.
It just makes so much sense.
Yep.
Wait. Which one do you guys like better? The left or right? I don't like the one with the hard corners.
That's the new one.
What is that fine tip thing? No,
yeah.
I'm
so
not
the
into
the
it.
One on the left is the new not one. The right one, the rounder one, is the old one.
I'm not feeling it.
I like the old one because it looks wireless. Yeah. It does look like wireless, but it's not wireless. So yeah.
And I appreciate that they reversed the color order.
Oh, look at that! Yeah. Fascinating.
Differences.
Yeah.
But I'm shy about using Samsung Pay more than Google Wallet.
I saw a video last week of someone using Samsung Pay, and I was like, wow, should really be the solution that
I live in a small town, and it just feels kind of weird going to my coffee shop and be like, hey, can I go behind the counter and use my, can I swipe my fancy phone next to your fancy thing? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'm going to set it up. I have Android Pay. I was able to get it all figured out. That's Android Pay. That's not.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we're joking about it being
complicated.
We're joking about it being complicated, but I'm sure once it all gets in place and we use it, then it's going to simplify.
Scary.
I'm sure.
It's just scary.
It just kind of follows that Google template of like, here's some news, but there's nothing you can do about it. And by the way, we're switching these things around, but it really makes sense, even though it doesn't.
It's kind of
confusing.
I can't stand it. I mean, it's not
confusing message.
It's not in technology, but so the San Diego Comic-Con, biggest kind of pop culture event, they. My history in comics, I have a lot of experience with them. They will send out emails, very dense emails with paragraphs of information at the top of it in bold letters, no action needed from you from this email. And which tells me, okay, don't read it, delete, you know? And so, like, why would you send things with actionable cases? Like, if you're going to get my attention, give me the opportunity. Wait until it launches. Say, mm-hmm. here's the link to you know, it's rolling out today. Not it's rolling out in a week or whatever. Like, I that's the thing. It causes confusion when I read that and I realize, oh, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
So.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just me.
I agree.
Note to self, don't send Ron emails without clickable links.
Don't send Ron emails that don't tell him to do something.
Yeah. Just give me an action. I want to click something. I just want to click. That's all I want to do.
Ron, click on this link.
That's all it is.
That closes the email. Google Camera. So Android police doing what they do best. Historically, APK teardowns, spilling the beans on what's what we can all expect of a huge upcoming update to the Google Camera app. Some features that are likely going to be involved in version 3 of Google Camera that I know I've wanted. Smart Burst is a new version potentially of kind of burst camera mode. Basically, some text in the APK reveals that you hold down the shutter button. That'll capture the frames. Possibly there will be a best shot picker, which personally I think is indispensable. If you got burst mode, you better have something like that. There's nothing worse than doing burst mode and then having 30 pictures and you have to go in manually to like trim it because you're never going to do that. And then that just means you have a ton of pictures. So that would be awesome. Creations, where it will take that burst, those burst shots and do some automatic GIF.
I think it's
creation.
GIF.
It's GIF.
We have to call it GIF at the IDG offices.
Oh, you do?
Really? Did like a corporate memo go out about that?
No, but there's always a fight about it. GIF. Anyway, it's a really
I never know. I hop back and forth. I'm a GIF flip flopper.
GIF.
GIFs and collages, all done from based on those smart burst shots. Group smile detection. Okay. Photo booth capability. I suppose that's kind of cool.
It is fun. Photo booths are fun. You go in front of a blank wall with your friends and you go, selfie. It's fun.
I really want the old ice cream sandwich video effects back, but they aren't bringing those back.
Oh.
But I really wanted that. I had so much fun with those. Further implementation of the camera. This is the camera one or camera two, sorry, API, which technically allows for things like DNG photos that are, you know, lossless and all that kind of stuff. But in this case, helps with the slow motion controls. Also, dirty lens detection and warning. So if your lens is smudgy or dirty or whatever, it might potentially detect that and warn you of it.
It should detect that. It should warn you of it.
Oh, man, there's nothing worse than getting back to your computer after you took a bunch of photos and it's all hazy.
Yes. Wasn't it foggy? Like, I'm disgusting. Yeah. Like, what do I have on my fingers and in my purse?
Where's the contrast? Oh, that's right. That's my fingerprint.
But I don't know. A lot of these features sound like stuff that should have been in the app already.
Ain't that always the case in this regard.
How about we make a camera that works, though? Let's do that.
Yeah. I would do that. I'd buy that.
A camera that takes good photos.
Yeah.
On a Nexus?
Yeah, I would love
that.
It's
a unicorn.
Yeah. After years of on my Nexus 5 and taking photos.
I know.
And like,
this is partly why I don't have a Nexus phone, because I need, you know.
You know what's the worst? Is that like I it's at the point now where, because I take a lot of pictures of things, not so much people, but I'll take pictures when I go see bands and stuff like that. And that's different lighting. And I've gotten pretty good at adjusting the whatever, to say the -1, +2 or whatever to figure it out. And I'll take a picture. I'll look at my phone. I'm like, wow, I really got a good picture. And I post it to Instagram.
Yeah.
And then I get home and I'm like, oh, that's really not a good picture at all.
Yeah. And you go on the computer.
And I'm kind of embarrassed. Yeah. Breaks my heart.
Struggle is real. Today's show is all about struggle.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Life. So.
All right.
Life is a pigsty.
Well, talking about the struggle, we've been talking about Amazon Underground, Amazon's attempt at revamping their app store. And we've had a lot of questions about it, how it really works, what it's going to do, and a little more insight into it over at Android Police. We're talking about it. Amazon Underground's app service promises to bring you a huge catalog of apps and games you would normally pay for completely free of charge, including in-app purchases. It turns out the price a user pays is with their eyeballs, as Amazon's own ads will run when one of the Underground installed apps is run. Ads are displayed at first launch and then random other times, always when opening the app and never interrupting the app experience.
That's the right way to do that. If you got to pay for it somehow, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to pay for it. I mean, it's most akin. This is most similar to like the Hulu kind of YouTube. You know, like yeah. Watch a pre-roll ad before you watch something. You know, that right. sort of thing. I don't mind. I mean, I guess that's fine. I mean, I guess some people would be annoyed about it, but you know, but then maybe give me the option to buy it, and not see any ads. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know what yeah. the solution is, but you know, as somebody who has made money off of advertising supported content for it's over hard, 10 years yeah. now, I have a hard time arguing it. Although, but as a user, I still go, ad. And,
for sure.
Yeah.
As long as it's appearing inside the ad, like yeah. halfway through, because that's kind of the promise of Underground is no ads. Yeah. Except for the ads that we decide to serve to you.
Yeah.
I think that's what maybe people are slightly upset about. Having said that, you got to pay for this somehow. And right. I guess when it came to the free app of the day, Amazon was shouldering that cost entirely. Mm-hmm. This is a way for them to
yeah. –
I don't know how much they gain.
It's better than giving blood.
That's true. Oh,
Jesus Christ. You know? Yeah, I hope so.
I'm just saying. Like,
is this a glimpse into the future of smartphones?
Have you seen sci-fi movies?
Would you like to play?
To bring it to a less invasive procedure.
Here's a needle. Put your thumb there. Suck.
Less invasive.
Anyway.
I get woozy. Please stop. I'm a Prime member. Mm-hmm. So why not do some sort of Amazon Underground Prime where for an extra $10 or whatever in Prime, I just don't see any ads. Like, why not?
I would do that.
Right?
I'm all about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to write an email to Jeff Bezos.
You should. Yeah, you got to keep this running list of letters you have to write.
I am going to be very busy this week.
Yeah. A lot of homework.
I'm going to write just like long, like, Dear Jeff, I host the show.
No, for each of them, you can save yourself a lot of work. Just... Yeah. Attach a link to this video.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Send it to them with a time code. Marlon, the guy from Trinidad in our All About Android community on Google+, made a post there that's related to Amazon Underground, which is definitely relevant to what we're talking about here. He said, when I heard about it, I cringed. The reason is twofold. It reinforces a bad model, which may lead to worse apps, and it's not sustainable. First off, in-app purchases is not the problem. Bad in-app purchases is the problem. In my mind, Amazon Underground reinforces bad habits. Instead, app stores should be rewarding those developers that are providing unique experiences and are building a business model around that. Best example is Hipster Whale, the developer of Crossy Road and Pac-Man 256. In both games, you can play for free all you want, but you gain benefits by watching video ads, or you can choose to buy characters, or you can play the entire game without doing either and just play the game. That developer made $10 million in 3 months with Crossy Road, which isn't too bad. It's not Candy Crush dollars, but it's nothing to sneeze at.
I would gladly make $10 million in 3 months.
Please, right?
Sign me up.
I don't think any disclaimer there is needed. $10 million in 3 months? I'll take it.
I'll take that.
Exactly. We also have the option of subscription services for games and apps, especially education apps, which give the expectation of ever-increasing content and value-added features. Plus, I don't believe that Amazon will indefinitely continue this program, as I don't think it'll catch on, and I fear we will get inferior apps being put out in an attempt to game the system.
Marlon's a smart guy, but I think that it's a little condemning before seeing kind of scenario where, I mean, because it's the same, I mean, the same argument was said for Hulu when Hulu came out. It's like, I've got to watch an ad before I watch this video, whatever. And now, you know, millions of people do it. And it's, again, to your point that you just said earlier, Jason, you have to pay for it somehow.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you run the risk of people gaming any system. So might as well try something. Ad supported, not ad supported, subscription, IAP, premium, whatever it is, whatever model it is, put it out there, see if it flies.
I really like the part of Underground that I really do like, and after reading Marlon's post, I can't tell if I'm agreeing with him or I'm disagreeing with him, but I do like the fact that with Underground, you don't have to pay for those in-app purchases, because how many times I do play a decent amount of Android games for the shows that we do, and man, those in-app purchases,
that's a very good
when
point.
They're done incorrectly, spoil what would otherwise be a great game. So if I could just do that and not have to pay those in-app purchases and just get it all anyways, I don't know. I think that's good. But I think what Marlon's saying is that just reinforces bad behavior, because anyone paying for it through the Play Store still has to experience that. It doesn't necessarily encourage developers to change how they implement in-app.
But who's to say that's bad behavior also as well? That's a way that they can make, like,
it
like
is.
Who's the way to judge how they can make money? You know,
fair
like
enough.
That's, you know.
Having said that, I've seen plenty of games made for kids.
Yes.
And that is it's disgusting.
But again,
to a certain level, it is so totally disgusting, because those developers know without a shadow of a doubt that a kid is going to be very easily susceptible to.
I'm just thinking about Peggle Blast and how like many times I have to watch an ad to get like free things, and I've done those.
Yeah,
but yeah, to have kids like do that all the time. Yeah. We're training our children.
It's true.
To watch ads.
I guess they got to make money somehow. I suppose.
Yeah,
they spent their time developing the app. I thought
you were going to say the thing you liked Amazon. A thing that you liked about Amazon Underground was its edgy aesthetic.
Oh yeah, so the spray painted.
It's hip.
Boom.
It's street. It's really connecting
it's
with
street.
It's street. Hip.
Is it like cool. Idris Elba Street? Like can't be James Bond?
No, I don't know about that.
I'm still upset about that.
Anyway.
I can already tell. We're day one into the next generation. I can already tell there are going to be so many pop culture references that fly.
I'm sorry, Jason.
What you get for bullying a millennial on the show?
I'm just going to be over here going, whoosh.
And after the show, what was that? What are you talking about?
I'm going to keep a little notepad.
I was watching The Wiggles earlier today with my daughter. And
I like The Wiggles.
Oh, that's a real wow.
Did you see the Apple keynote last week? And then they put the whole keynote to The Wiggles, like live concert. It was hilarious.
No. That sounds like torture.
It was hilarious.
Says a man who's had to deal with
it. It was like, you know, Tim Cook talking about Apple, and then you had all these kids in the audience going like, woo, yeah! Because that's how Apple people are.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to say that loud because I feel like that's mean.
You're on a microphone.
I know.
They're going to hear you no matter how loud you say that. Let's take a break before we get into the arena and thank our final sponsor of today's episode, Braintree. This is code for easy online payments. We have plenty of developers who follow the show. And if you're looking to integrate payments, mobile payments, into your app, you're going to want to check out Braintree. It's a simple payment solution. Braintree V.0 SDK is what we have here. It makes it easy to offer many mobile payment types. You can integrate it quickly, and you'll be able to accept PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo, cards, soon Android Pay, and so much more, all with a single integration. It's simple, secure payments, and it's pretty much effortless. It's code that you can literally integrate in minutes. And this is directed at developers. You don't have to worry about taking days to integrate your payments. Your time is valuable. With Braintree, it's done in minutes. And if you don't have the time, you can actually give them a call. They'll help you. They'll handle the integration for you and walk you through the process. Braintree code supports Android, iOS, and JavaScript clients. And there's SDKs in 7 languages. That's .NET, Node.js, Java, Perl, PHP, Python, Ruby. And it's just clearly documented, elegant code. It's 10 lines of in-app code. There's not a whole lot to integrate here. It's pretty easy stuff. Braintree gives you an easy way to accept all those payment types with one simple integration and quick, knowledgeable developer support if you happen to run into any issues and you need questions along the way. You can start accepting Apple Pay, PayPal, Bitcoin, Venmo, cards, whatever's next, all with that single integration. The Braintree V.0 SDK. One simple snippet of code and you're all set up in less than 10 minutes. If you want to learn more? For yourself and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/android and check it out for yourself. Got a sandbox there that you can go play in the sandbox. Test out the code. See how it works for you. braintreepayments.com/android. It's perfect for the developers that follow the show. And we thank Braintree for their support, their continued support of All About Android. All right. I think it's time. The first next generation arena.
We have to have a discussion
now.
Too. Yeah.
So many enter, but only one.
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well,
Android arena.
What is this conundrum that you appear to be bringing?
Let's look at the results of last week first.
Okay, let's look at the results of last week.
Last week's All About Android. What episode was it? 230. Mm-hmm. We had Drive Mode, My Radar, Weather Radar, and Pulse Point.
You did good.
And I didn't see it coming. Honestly, I thought I fumbled the demo, to be honest with you. And sure enough, Drive Mode took the win with 45% of the vote. Who had My Radar, Weather Radar? That was who's on the show? Dr. Joe's pick comes in with 35%, and Jason's pick, Pulse Point, 20%.
Pulse Point.
Through 36 weeks, Jason has 11 wins. Guests have 11 wins.
Oh,
and I've got
14 mean.
Wins.
I see what you mean.
So now this is a scenario where our dear friend Flo was formerly team guest, but she's been traded. It feels like baseball. It's like, you know, when someone's traded from the American League to the National League, their stats go, you know. To that. So does Flo just join Gina as co-captain of team guest for the rest of the year? Or do we start tracking Flo's arena wins?
No, we're going to start tracking my wins.
Look who's got a competitor streak.
Okay, well, hey.
I'm actually super not competitive, but I feel like I want to be for this.
All right.
Well, here, how about this? I'm sure this can be done. We have a smart audience. Let's go back in time.
Did she win any arenas?
Well, that's, maybe.
Yeah, we should figure out if she won any arenas.
What we should do is extract your win, your plays. From the
mileage.
From the field.
Yes.
And then the new guest number and the new flow number based on previous history throughout the year.
So here's the chat room's challenge, or I'll do it while they're doing their demos, to figure out if Flo has any wins under her belt in 2015. I don't know if you do or not. But if she does, then we'll minus that from the guests and give Flo her own.
How many weeks do we have left?
Not many. We've
not
got September, October, November, 3 months.
And what was the...
We've got 14 weeks left?
14 weeks. Yeah. Okay.
So if you win every week.
If you win every week, you could tie Ron. No pressure.
That is a lot of pressure.
But actually, not true. If you've won any in the past,
it carries over.
You could win.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so I'm working on this. You guys do your demos. I'm going to have this solved by the time I get my demos.
Okay. All right.
This is really important
stuff. This is fun. This is good stuff. All right. I'm on the case. Don't worry, chat room. I'm on it. I got you guys covered. You take tonight off. I'll do this. Jason, take it away.
Okay, I'm trying to do two-handed show wrangling here. Okay, so my app is called Shuffle My Life. It's for when you're bored. Are you bored? Well, maybe you're not bored now because you're watching this show, right? But when you are bored after the fact, what you can use this. Let me skip past the onboarding. I accept the above. Shuffle My Life is a way to be given ideas for things to do so you aren't bored. Like, I'm going to go ahead and log into my my account. So first of all, it does have Google Google Play Games integration, so you can, you know, log all of the things that you actually do using the app. But so here we go. Try a new food. Try some food or drink you have never tried before. If you don't have any in the house, visit a shop and look around for something. I've upgraded to the premium version. It's a 99-cent upgrade. Otherwise, it's free. That gives me the ability to save that for later, so I'll go ahead and save that for later. I like that idea. I'm just not anywhere where I can try new food right now. We're kind of doing a show. We're going to eat a little bit later. I'll go ahead and swipe it to the side. A word from the wise. Set aside time to visit your oldest living relative in the next week. If they're too far away, give them a call. This is a great idea. You know, maybe you don't talk to that person very often, and you need a reminder or just kind of an inkling to do that. So straight from the app, you can call whoever it happens to be. I'm not going to do that because you'll see my contacts. You can add it to a calendar to set yourself a reminder for some time. You can do all this stuff. Now, you'll see up at the top, it has... I don't know how it thinks that a call to my oldest relative would take 1 minute, but that's what it is up there. That's wrong. But it would be free. And, you know, if I did it, I could tap done. You can set limits. So if I want only tasks that take, you know, up to 2 hours, I could set that. And if I want tasks that cost me, I'm willing to spend $5, then you can do that. And that will kind of dictate what you're given. Donate old clothes. Go through your closet or wardrobe. Find old clothes to donate. Take them to the nearest clothes bank. We actually had a fire here in the area. A lot of displaced people. I actually have a bag of clothes that I'm donating tomorrow. So I'm going to go ahead and save this for later because, yeah, I want credit for that. So, and it's just kind of a cool way to get ideas for just things to do. If you're bored or you just want to challenge yourself or I don't know, it's just kind of fun to follow the suggestion. 5 minute jog, whatever it is. There's hundreds in here, more added all the time. It's developed actually, I think, pretty darn well. There's also categories.
It's material design.
Yeah. It looks nice. There's all these categories. You can take any core categories out that you don't want to see. I have them all checked. And then, of course, saved tasks.
What about group tasks?
Yeah,
what can we do as friends?
Well, I can go ahead and say there's three of us total.
Yay.
And, okay. Sorry. There we go. And, you know, it's on shuffle, so I'm not always going to get jogging. One that involves
There's
a song.
There's no birds to see. Well, no.
No?
No.
No bird watching?
Okay. No.
So notice, like, if we are bird watching, I could take a photo and add it.
Yeah.
Worst photo. Challenge those around you to find the worst photo of themselves. Everyone votes. The greatest number of votes wins.
I don't like this.
You can't vote for yourself.
I don't like this.
In a case of a draw, keep going with new bad photos. I don't know. It's just kind of a fun way to
That would be fun. If we were, like, at a campfire drinking beer, totally. I'd want to do that.
Totally. So this is called Shuffle My Life. There is a free version. The paid version basically brings the group tasks aspect, okay. And it also brings the save for later. Otherwise, fully functional. And, yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it. Shuffle My Life. And that's that. All right, so Florence.
So before we go to Florence's app, hang on, I'm so close.
Oh, wow. You are really doing this.
January, so far Florence has one win.
Okay.
When you brought in Alpha Bear, that did win.
Yeah.
That did win.
Because I was ragging on them earlier.
And so then I just need to figure out in your first appearance earlier this year whether or not you won. And I will tell you in one moment as soon as I scroll. Your first episode this year was on January 20th. So the week of the 27th, I could tell you, I know this is great radio. Let's see, 197 results. Everyone's waiting. On the edge of their seat.
Waiting.
All right. So the 197, the winner was Piano by Yuki.
That was me, I believe.
Was that you?
Yep.
All right, so then Florence has one win.
I have one win.
Good. That's better
than
none.
That's a good way to start.
So yeah. if we can adjust the stats, so now guests have 10, Florence has 1, Jason has 11, and I've got 14. So there you go. All right.
He's the one.
You're still the winner, Ron.
Well, not yet. Well, we're going to find out. Let's get to December.
We have 14
and we'll find
weeks.
Who wins. Hey, you know, it's mine to lose.
Basically.
Wait, do we have any weeks where we get double points?
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Wade County.
Darn it.
Good job, Wade County. There
we go.
All right.
You can get there. I think you can do it. I think you can run the rest of the
year. Okay, well, hopefully we'll start today.
Start out on the right. Yeah, start today.
Yeah.
Right foot. Here
with
we go.
Pokemon Shuffle. Yes. Because you guys, Pokemon's amazing. How can you not love Pokemon? Communication error occurred. Come on, Pokemon.
That's all right.
Yes, you can. Look. You can play this application without paying money.
So what do we got here? This is...
Pokemon Shuffle. So, okay, originally this was a 3DS.
Port,
yes, this was a 3DS game. Okay. It's slightly different. I found this out yesterday while looking up game facts, because I still do that. Oh, the music is so cute. It's so adorable. I love Pokemon. All right, so this is how... Oh, hush you. Okay, so these are all the different little quests you can do every day, like to beat Pokemon and, you know, meet Mew, who, by the way, I've caught.
Good for you. Good job.
Are you into Pokemon?
Like,
I was in 1998.
So I'm just, like, enjoying this on my own
No, I mean, when I was 19 and I was in college and I watched it was amusing. But beyond that.
I missed the Pokemon train.
I'm with you, Flo. Keep going.
Thank you. All right.
Oh, okay.
I can say
I choose you, Bulbasaur.
Nobody chose Bulbasaur.
No.
Dude,
Charmander.
Plant Pokemon. No, we don't do plants. I'm sorry, I just totally hurt your feelings now.
Bulbasaur was my favorite.
Oh, I'm sorry, he's really cute.
Bulbasaur.
But anyway, so it's basically a match 3 or more game. Let's play this one that I played yesterday because I don't want to lose on camera. You can optimize. It'll like choose the Pokemon that you have.
The best combination.
The best combination of skills. And there's like... You can pick little power-ups that you get coins for every, like, level that you play, but kind of not really. I was reading there was... I'm not selling this very well if I go into this, but I was reading that there was not a very good... this is not a very good port because they didn't bring in all, like, the bonus stuff.
Do you think they will eventually?
Yeah, maybe. But, yeah, it's just match 3. It's incredibly fun, and I've been playing this every single night after work. And that just happened on camera. So
the black spots appear there? Those are just spots that you can't out of play until you die?
You'll be able to kill those spots as soon as you get like one of these really powerful Pokemon to break them for you.
And you can skip your player over the top of them to the other side, I think.
Yeah,
I saw.
So okay. The idea is to like match the Pokemon with the move that you want to hit this Pokemon with.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
And so... Like, and the more Pokemon that you match, the harder the hit is. But see, his hits are turning into, like, little black spots.
He's a challenger.
This is actually a contender. Have certain moves to do things. And okay. They have, like, a scoreboard, but it doesn't really do anything from what I've gathered.
Like a play games scoreboard, or?
Yeah, it has, like, a little scoreboard right over here. Like, keeps score, but I don't really know what it does yet.
It allows you to show your friends how awesome you are compared to them.
And which, you know, I'm okay at this game. But yeah, that's Pokemon Shuffle.
Nice. Excellent. And it's free, is it?
It's free to play. You're gonna have to spend some money on it, and I mean you don't have to, but I have because I'm one of those terrible people who spends a lot of money on games.
Hey, listen, that BART ride, I can relate. I did that BART ride to Berkeley for 2.5 years. Sometimes you make tough decisions and that involves
an effort. Do you know how many Google Play TV shows and stuff that I buy on the way home? It's really bad.
Do you remember when that Google Play refund thing happened and you can go to that page to see whether you're eligible? And I went to that page. It was when I was playing that Star Wars game and it was just like, all these in-app purchases. I was like, oh, I don't want to look at that page ever again.
It's really bad. All the money I spent on in-app purchases, I could have so many pairs of shoes by now.
So in a game like that, what item would you spend?
Jewels. The jewels help you get coins or help you catch Pokemon that are too hard to catch. Because at the end of the game, once you beat it, it's like, I don't want to keep you guys watching me. Once you beat it, you get a chance to try and catch the Pokemon. Oh, I like this. It has a little advertisement. And if you don't catch him, you can use a jewel to send out a great ball.
Oh, man.
And there's power-ups.
I never buy those in-app purchases. But, I mean, you're not alone. This is why people are making all these games, you know, with in-app purchases, because people are buying them.
And I love Pokemon.
Do people who are prone to seizures need to be careful with this, or...?
That's a good maybe. Actually, there is a lot of like.
You remember
neon
that? Oh, that was probably before. Do you remember that when Pokemon was first on TV? Then
yes,
yeah. And then they showed it on the news, and
oh boy.
You know what though? I got motion sickness from my N64.
Really? Again, they make this bracelet. They make this wristband with a white dot.
I know. It was during Shadows of the Empire. Yeah. It was the jetpack level.
I remember that level.
Barfy. It was awful.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, then Barfy. There we go. All right. So Pokemon Shuffle Mobile. Check that out if you want to vote for Flo.
You should vote for me because we have to beat Ron.
Wow. So that's...
This is happening.
Well, here we are. We're an hour and a half into it, and this is where we're at. All right. Good. I like it. Well, my app for this week is one that I was like, oh, that's neat. And I know I've seen this in other integrations before, but I kind of like this one. It is called Tuf's Notification Shortcuts. And very simply, this is a nice little material design app that allows you to insert a row in your notification pane of shortcuts, which is pretty cool.
You're going to win.
So I know, Flo. I'm glad that it took an hour and a half and 1 minute for Flo to realize.
I really got to step up my game.
This is my arena.
This is really good. Go on.
So when you open up the app, what you can do is you go into Home. And here you can set all your settings for your notification pane. So you can say how many apps per row. So you can change it whether you want, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm going to choose 4. All right. You can change the background color. And what's happening here is that this area is the area up top here is a representation of what my notification pane will look like. Here I've added the shortcut to Slack. I've added a shortcut to call my sister. A shortcut to the settings to turn Bluetooth on and off and to the next bus predictor. So what happens is that if I go back to my main screen, you see, take away the lower third, Brian, for a moment. You see down here, I've got these main apps that I use a lot, whether they're the phone, messaging, Talon, or Chrome, right? That's the standard kind of, you know, drawer. But if I pull down the notification pane, I will see this new row and I can launch shortcuts from there.
Oh, that takes you right to the Bluetooth settings.
Yeah, isn't that pretty cool? Yeah, see, that's why it's straight to my Bluetooth settings. So you can see all my Bluetooth devices. I can, you know, I'm often waiting for the bus, so I can go right to, and it launches the Next Bus app, which is pretty cool. So going back to the configuration, all you got to do is you tap on something, and it gives you a list of all your apps. So if you want to launch a shortcut to launch an app, all you got to do is choose it. It takes a second because I have a lot of apps installed on my phone, so bear with me. It's my fault. It's not the app's fault. It's my fault. It likes to spin. Thank you, Brian.
Perfect.
Well done. It's indexing. Sorry. Anyway, I'll jump over shortcuts while we're waiting as well.
No, you're going to wait for those too.
Wow, look at that. That's crazy. There we go. There we go. Okay, so there's all the apps, and they're not there. Where'd they go?
Boy, this app worked really well.
It worked well earlier.
No, it works better than this one, Pokemon right. Shuffle.
Hang on a second. So here we go. Boop. And we'll go shortcuts. So all you got to do is once that finishes spinning, then you can choose what you want to do. Welcome to the live demo, by the way.
It happens.
It happens. What do you do?
It happens to all of us.
Yep.
It's so
remember
intriguing.
That flow. It happens to all of us.
Yeah. Welcome to it.
Really,
hey, and I thought I blew the demo last week in drive mode one. People can see through the...
This is...
Wow.
this is like some lost level.
There we go. Okay, so you can set up a shortcuts, and if the app itself supports shortcuts, then it's in there. So, for example, with WhatsApp, I can set up a shortcut to go directly into a conversation, or with Evernote, I can set up a shortcut with an Evernote, which is really cool. Inbox, straight to Compose, you know, whatever shortcuts your app support, you can put in here. I'm going to do settings, and it even allows me to choose within settings what section do I want to go into.
Nice.
So if I wanted to go to if I wanted to go to my display settings, you know, boom, it's set up now. And so now when I pull down, that will go into display. There you go. Pretty cool. What's neat about it, in addition to all that, is you can really customize it. So you can have them apply a custom background, which gives a little background to the icon. I don't like to do that. I turn that off. But within that, you can adjust the shape of the background layer. So you can make a rounded square if you like that, that sort of thing.
Unlock the app to get all the features.
I know, yeah. So, yeah, there is in-app purchases to unlock stuff. You can add the label if you want to have what it is. You can turn that off. You can change the label color. They misspelled label.
The ball.
Yeah. So, and if we go into the settings, you can enable a second row. And that's you do the in-app purchases to unlock that if you want to. I think one row is fine, but you can add a second row. You can make it so that it auto-starts on reboot so you don't need to restart the app to have it appear. Also, I should note up here the little toggle turns it on or off. So if I turn that off, then the notification, it's gone. It's not there. If I turn it back on, there it is. Magic. Nice. You can choose to hide it from the lock screen. If you turn this off when I lock my phone, I'm going to go do that. So now when I turn my phone back on, there it is. So I can do it straight from the lock screen, which is pretty cool. Right? Pretty neat. But some people might not want to do that, so you can turn that off. They do come with – this is what I thought was pretty genius, was that it comes with themes. So if you have a Samsung phone or an HTC phone or you just want stock Android or you want retro or Intex or other ones that they want, Techno, this yellow one – it will automatically apply the theme to that. So that's pretty neat. If you're just out of the gate, you want it to look like it belongs on your HTC phone with, what is it, Sense? Yeah, that's stupid stuff. And you can reset it to their defaults and that sort of thing. So neat little app that allows you to have a really great simple access shortcuts.
Tough.
There it is. So it's free in the Google Play Store. Check it out.
Nice. Tough.
There you go.
T-U-F-F-S.
Now yep. I have to download that because it's a good idea.
Yep.
Darn it.
Tufts notification shortcuts. Okay, so three apps this week. And it's an important week because we got Flo branching out on her own. So we'll see how this goes.
I have to rally my own little army.
That's right.
The Flo army. The Flo army. Here we come, yeah.
AAAPoll.com/231. AAAPoll.com/231. And place your vote. Is it Shuffle My Life? Is it Pokemon Shuffle Mobile? A little bit of Shuffle. You missed the Shuffle Boat.
A little bit of Shuffle. I missed the Shuffle Boat.
Tufts Notification Shortcuts is the third app. And place your vote. We'll check in on it next week and see who won and how that changes the standings. But that, I think that's it.
I think that's it, too.
All About Android, the next generation is TNG. It's in full effect. Great having you on board, Flo. It was wonderful, and I'm glad that we experimented with this. And anyways,
long experiment.
Wow. We'll be in touch, and we'll let you know how.
I won't quit my day job.
No, we're super thrilled to have you on the show. Thanks for coming in the studio. It was a lot of fun.
I got to pick some better apps so I can.
Well,
I'll go ahead and tell you. Now, how long have we been doing this show?
A long time. 3 years? 3+ years?
3 to 4 years. Picking a new great app every single week. It's really hard.
Yeah, I'm going to have to spend more time now in the Google Play Store.
Here's the thought about the, at least my thought methodology. What I do is when I'm looking for a new app is,
tell me your secrets.
First, what I'm doing is I'm looking for apps that have been released since we last did the arena, see if one catches my eye. And 8 times out of 10, one will. But every now and then it's like, oh, nothing good came out. So then you're going deep into the well where it's not so much what is a new app, but rather an app that we've never talked about.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. Those are the tough weeks.
Because, boy, that dock that we have of all the apps.
And it's
full.
It's full. And it's probably – we should probably let you know that it's – you can't call – like, it got to get in the dock. If the app's not in the –
If a great app came out tomorrow and you wanted it,
get in the dock. Get in the dock. That's why you'll notice that, like,
I wake up at 3 a.m. with, like, sweats. Did I put the app in the dock?
Yeah. So there have been times where I've gone in and I'm like, great, I got it. I'm going to win. Ah, Jason put it in early. I get so mad at Jason. But it's hard to be mad at him because he's so great.
So. That's right, too.
Yeah, I know.
Cool. So, Flo, we will have you back next week and the week after and the week after because you're a permanent fixture on the show. So
I'm
really looking forward to this.
I am. This is going to be good.
Where can people find all the stuff you're doing, the review for the Samsung tablet, all that stuff?
You guys can find me at greenbot.com, pcworld.com, and on Twitter at othatflo without a W.
That's right. Excellent. And what about you, Ron?
What about me? This is so exciting. This is September, such an exciting month. I tweeted that yesterday. It was very exciting. You go to about.me/RonXO, where you can follow me on Twitter and Google Plus and all that fun stuff, and where you can keep up with all the exciting announcements. Last week, I announced my new day job working over at Drop, and you can check that out at getdrop.com. And today's announcement was adding Flo to the show, and I've got another exciting announcement that I'll talk about next week. So there's a tease for you. Yeah. So I think this next announcement will be a little more in line for the listeners and the audience. So yeah,
I'm gonna have to wait a week.
I know. Sorry, I have to finish.
I have to finish. I have to come up with some news.
Yeah,
I have to beat Ron. And
we'll have
some
our
news.
Own arena on like news to release and see every week whose news.
I try to model myself after you know Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. You know that show?
Yes.
Ever seen that? You should watch the show. It's great. Yeah. Where he was interviewing Howard Stern, and in the interview, he said, what happened a couple years ago? You announced the whole production company and all these TV shows. And Howard said, oh, yeah. He's like, well, after that, I learned something about myself, that I really like the announcement. It's like, I don't like the work that comes after the announcement, but I really like the announcement.
Fair enough.
So I'm playing a little announcement games this month. So there you go.
All right.
Yeah, it's fun.
Follow through on those announcements?
I will follow through. Okay. I have to. Right. This next one, I have to.
Okay. Well, I'm very curious to hear. Yeah. Brian, what about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo, and I also do a how-to show with Padre on Thursdays. And welcome to the show, Florence. Good to have you on. And I have to ask you, though, what was the Pokemon that you first picked when you played? Not Bulbasaur, because clearly that would be a bad choice.
Squirtle.
Good call.
Wow.
Which turns into Blastoise, which is...
Yeah.
A powerhouse.
He has cannons on his back. Well, once again, I realize I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
It's okay, old man.
I'm really sorry.
I need a cane to walk around with or something.
Yay!
Oh, jeez.
The next generation.
Is that a Nidoran or whatever?
Wow, everybody here knows about Pokemon but me.
Even I knew something about Pokemon. Jeez.
Oh, boy.
That's a great Halloween costume idea for us, by the way. The three starting Pokemon.
We are not doing group.
We are
not doing group Halloween costumes. I consider Jason to be a very good friend. Flo, you're pretty cool. We'll see about you long term, but I am not doing group Halloween costumes.
Fine. I'll just come dress myself.
Sure. Go
for
it.
I don't need you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I go with the flow. So
I'm sorry, I'm anti Halloween. That's my problem.
If you're all doing it, I suppose I'll do it too. I don't want to be the odd man out. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music if I ever do it again in my life. Yellowgoldmusic.com. And check out my other Android show. It's Android App Arena. I was just saying it's hard to come up with one new app every week to feature on this show. Try adding 4 apps to that. 5 new apps every week. It's difficult, but I do it every week. twit.tv/arena for that. That's it for this week for All About Android, the next generation. Leave us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can always send us an email at AAA@twit.tv. A lot of you do, and really appreciate that. Send us a link to a video there, and we'll play your video on the show. No one ever does that, though, for some reason. Twitter, we are at Android Show. Reddit, we're twitaaa.reddit.com. Our show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. We also have our episodes in all the normal places, YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, wherever podcasts are found. You can catch us live every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, guys.